Hello and welcome to the Anti-Football Podcast. My name is Chris and as always, I am joined by Harry. Harry, we haven't done a podcast since before Christmas. Like, how's your Christmas been? How's your New Year been? Is it alright?
Yeah, it happened. How was yours?
Yeah, it was good. Like, we had family round. It's just nice. Just nice to just sit back and not be asked about it was decent.
A lot of football. I'll tell you something.
Yeah, we do. We've got 3 game weeks because we both took a break. I was about to segue into, I'll tell you what wasn't decent though, both of our boxing days in terms of football. But I mean, we'll get into that in a little bit. Since we've got 3 game weeks to cover, I thought we'd bring back the 30-second rule that we did a couple of podcasts ago, where we each have 30 seconds to talk about a game. What do you think about that, Harry? Do you think that's all right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's decent. So, I mean, first game is the Spurs-Brighton game. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to start?
You can start, yeah.
All right, then. I'll start the timer then. 3, 2, 1. Right, so I mean, Brighton managing to get the first goal and then Spurs going at half-time 1-0 down. I mean, it really sums up Spurs. Like, I know they're not really, but they seem like a sort of second-half team and it seems like they've got to go behind before they start to get into the game. I mean, if you look at the stats, it's basically split down the middle in terms of, like, actual chances created, but Spurs end up just being a little bit more clinical. On the day, I mean, we saw Ryan Sessegnon as well. He was that his Premier League debut, Sessegnon? I think it was. He just played all right. And I just feel like it was a decent overall game.
He made his debut against Burnley.
Did it? Mm-hmm. I don't remember him playing. Yeah, was it just like last couple of minutes or something?
He played last 15, yeah.
Ah, right. I was about to say I don't remember him, but I think I just sort of zoned out after that.
It was his first start.
Ah, right.
Okay. This was, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so I think they're all 3 o'clocks next after that. So, I mean, you've got your pick of the bunch, Harry.
All right, let's go Bournemouth-Arsenal.
All right, then. Right, 3, 2, 1.
So Bournemouth pretty much took the lead thanks to Dan Gosden. Not a typical scorer, but Bournemouth made the most of their lesser chances. Second half was a lot more even, but Arsenal managed to break into their box and Aubameyang again come to the rescue. It finishes 1-1 and on the face of things, probably very disappointing because Arsenal were the more dominant team, just Bournemouth were way better defensively.
Yeah, it was a weird one because I think, was that Arteta's first game? Because he didn't really have a chance to assert his style of play onto that team at that point. I think it was Arteta's first, wasn't it?
I think it was he was there at the Everton game, which was very boring. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But I mean, he'd only been there for like 1 or 2 days or something, so he was never going to assert his style of play on. And it just ended up being that Arsenal weren't clinical enough with the chances that they had. Go on, I'll move on to. I'll do my game, Everton Burnley. Right, so, Jesus. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty flat. I mean, it's just the way that Dyche sets up his teams away from home. It was just like we never really got into the game. We were constantly on the back foot from the off. I mean, that was pretty obvious just from the way that we played. Like, we had no shots on target at the end of the day. Like, I mean, going forward, we just had no threat. Whereas Everton, they were constantly knocking on that door throughout the game. And eventually they broke through. I mean, 30 seconds is up. I mean, I said a lot more on my Twitter. but yeah, just at the end of the day, there were no from us, no energy. And McNeil was isolated because he played two right backs and we just did nothing. So, yeah. Go on. What games do you want to cover next then?
Well, I don't really want to cover this one, but Chelsea Saints.
All right, then, yeah. Bit of a negative Boxing Day for both of us. 3-2-1.
So this was Chelsea going back to what I'd kind of expect from them when we first got Lampard. Just a lot of pissing about, failing to carve out chances, a lot of naivety going forward. And ultimately, it cost us because Obafemi was an absolute screamer of a strike. And Nathan Redmond making the most of Kepa being a complete troglodyte in goal. We didn't really just carve out any chances that really could have changed the game, really. There were a lot of tackles.
Yeah.
53, it says here. So,
yeah, it was
a very physical game.
Physical game, yeah. But I mean, yeah, end of the day, like, you've got to be able to take those chances. And I mean, against the Southampton side, where Danny Ings didn't even start, like, and he's one of the most clinical forwards in the league, right? You've got to be able to take those chances. Like, you should be winning those games at home.
Mm-hmm. We do lack a shithouse player who's going to... We need Matic of 2014. Someone who's going to bully in the midfield. We just lack that. The likes of Jorginho and Kante can't do that.
Yeah, they're not that sort of player.
Savic would be my pick.
Yeah, but I mean, how much would he cost? He'd be nine figures, definitely. You'd think.
Yeah, but it's Chelsea we're talking about.
Right, well, I mean, don't know. I guess I'll go to Palace West Ham game. 3-2-1. Right, yeah, so again, it was just a poor performance from West Ham under Pellegrini. I mean, granted, they were lucky not to escape anything. I mean, a Jordan Ayew late goal managed to seal the deal. And it was a blooming brilliant goal as well. But I mean, yeah, it was just. They just looked flat, did that West Ham team. Like, there were no pace, no energy, apart from Antonio. There was no energy in that team. That's 30 seconds. But, yeah, there was just no energy from them at all.
Mm-hmm. Is there only one 3 o'clock game left?
I think it's just the Sheffield.
Oh,
Watford
no, I've got Villa Norwich here.
All right, well, there's two then.
Okay, I'll do Villa Norwich.
Alright. 3-2-1.
Very even chances wise, but impact sub, Conor Hourihane comes in from the Nakamba, gets an assist from Grealish, and makes the most of the chance that came to him. I mean, there were a lot of chances gifted to both teams by the other, but keepers both seemed right up for it, and it was basically Hourihane managing to beat Tim Krul and give him a win.
Yeah, I mean, Norwich could probably feel a little bit aggrieved not to leave with anything. They were probably the better of the two sides. But yeah, end of the day, it's all about who's going to go
home. Taylor the keeper.
Yeah, exactly. And Eaton was crucial for Villa. I mean, last 3 o'clock game, Watford and Norwich. I'll go on then. 3-2-1. Yeah, I mean, it was a relatively even game. I feel like Sheffield probably should have been able to take the chances a bit better. A penalty from Sheffield United, what no one converted. I think it was pretty clear penalty for me anyway. But again, Watford, they looked miles better under Pearson than they did under Flores and Gracia. And yeah, they're just, even though they weren't the better side here, They are looking miles better and looking like they could pull themselves out of it.
Okay, I'm going to do the half five game, Man United and Newcastle.
Yeah, all right then. 3-2-1.
Okay, Matty's long staff opens up the scoring with his second goal ever in the Premier League and his second one against Man United. But then Man United go on a real rampant attacking mode. Martial, Greenwood and Rashford all pitching in with the goals. Just Newcastle looked really lacklustre at the back. Kept giving the ball away. It seemed that once they scored, they only sort of poked the beast.
Yeah, I think it were a case of Man U caught sleeping early on and then they woke up as soon as they conceded. It's just the pace of that front three were too much for Newcastle, really. Right, well, I mean, I'll move on to the biggest game of Boxing Day. That's Liverpool-Leicester, 3-2-1. How good do Liverpool look? I mean, really. Like, this is a Leicester side who are the second best in the league. Like, and they're slapping them up 4-0. And Leicester didn't even register a shot on target. And I mean, think about that. A team as good and as attacking, as creative as Leicester, didn't have a shot on target. Like, defensively, it was really solid from Liverpool. And Trent Alexander-Arnold, I mean, how good is he? Jesus Christ. Like, absolutely blinder of a game from him. And yeah, Liverpool looks like they've won the league with that.
We say this every week, though, don't we? Looks like they've won the league.
Well, it does, because they probably have at the end of the day.
Yeah, the more City keeps slipping up. And speaking of slipping up,
Slipping up.
Wolves, Man City. There's quite a lot to go through. So
yeah, do you want to increase it to a minute then?
Done then, yeah.
Well, we'll give you a minute to talk about it because there's so much to go through. All right, 3-2-1.
So Edison comes off by a red card due to a really unnecessary challenge. Guardiola makes the really stupid decision to take off his only striker, Aguero, and replace him with Bravo. Man City get a penalty. A lot of controversy surrounding it. Sterling gets his penalty saved, but a player clears it. Referee says, oh, that's encroachment. So they take it again. Then Sterling misses again, but taps in the rebound. So they go into the half 1-0 up. Then second half, Mahrez comes off for Garcia. So again, they're now down two attacking players, but it doesn't matter because Sterling goes and puts them 2-0 up. Then Dama Traore's pure pace just completely annihilates the defence of Man City. And then...
just ignore that.
What?
Timer. Just ignore it.
Alright, okay. the final 10 minutes, Wolves just go all balls to the wall. Jimenez and Doherty both getting in on the goals and pulling off a major turnaround and a massive upset.
Yeah, I mean, that's twice that Man City have slipped up against Wolves. Like, I mean, seriously, think about that. Like, that's twice. And they were 2-0 up as well. Like, a tactical disaster class from Guardiola, I must say, taking off two attacking players for a defender and a goalkeeper. Like, they just had no threat after they took Mahrez off.
Yeah, but if they had taken off a defensive player, how many more goals could they have conceded?
Well, I mean, they say the best defence is a good offence. Like, they'd have probably been more on the front foot. Like, and Wolves would have had less of the ball.
Yeah, that's fair. Fair point.
Right, well, I mean, if we move on to 28th games, then?
Yep.
Yeah, I think they're all... Brighton and Bournemouth won early, were it?
Yeah, it was.
Alright, so I don't remember seeing it.
It was pretty crappy.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll start timer. I don't really have much to say about it. I mean, you can bash getting a goal, but it wasn't the best goal that he scored during these past three game weeks. And yeah, Brighton just managed to take the chances.
Oh, fuck, that just reminded me. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, well, you're going to have to talk about it at some point, aren't you? I mean, yeah, Bournemouth, like, they're a funny side. I could see them being down near the bottom three come the end of the season. I mean, they're in there currently. And it just seems like all the teams around them are picking up points, apart from us. And Bournemouth just aren't. They're stopping down there at the moment.
They're very strange in the fact that they can beat us and draw with Arsenal, but teams around them, they just don't have that same desire.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? But, yeah. And Brighton are looking decent as well, to be fair to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right, have you got a preference of game?
I'll go Norwich Spurs.
Norwich Spurs, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, yeah, go.
Right, I feel, despite what the stats say, I feel like Norwich should have won.
Yeah.
So Vrančić opens up the scoring after Buendia assists him. They go into the half 1-0 up. Then Mourinho decides to sort out his back line because Norwich are playing a very counter-attacking football. That means Eriksen can now go forward and he makes the most of his chance. Then there's complete cock-up at the back that sees Aurier put the ball in his own net. And then Spurs get a very controversial penalty. Well, at least in my opinion. Which he's always going to convert. And he saves Spurs. It just seems to be the tale with Spurs. They always get saved by Harry Kane.
Yeah. And I mean, that Pookie goal, what got disallowed. Like, so well, harsh on it.
Hmm. That's what I mean. They just won.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we saw quite a few instances of VAR controversy and ruling out goals what probably should have been goals. I mean, we'll talk about. I'll go to Palace Southampton game next. I mean, yeah. But I mean, the main talking point of that game wasn't the Tompkins goal, wasn't the Danny Ings goal, but it was the Wilfred Zaha VAR incident where Zaha manages to score, but his toenail was offside, so it wasn't allowed. Like, come on, Jesus Christ! Like, those sorts of like decisions where it's so tight that you have to zoom in, you have to draw all those crappy, stupid lines. Like, just give it.
I think if it's not clear to the naked eye, don't. Then it's not offside.
Yeah, you don't need to, like, draw all these stupid, like, graphs and plot points, plot X against Y or whatever the fuck we do to figure it out.
The axings.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking trigonometry shit. Like, you have to do all that. Like, if it's offside, you can see it's offside. Like, it's just a load of shit, really. So, yeah, Palace deserved to win because of that. Ruling it out.
Mm-hmm. And weirdly enough, since Saints have lost 9-0, they've looked probably the best in the bottom 10.
Well, I think it was the kick up the arse what they probably needed. Was that
yeah, loss. Well, he completely rotated the team. He changed goalkeeper all the way to the striker. I think those players are going to be off. I'm seeing, sorry to go a bit off script, but I've seen that they're linked with Xhaka.
What, Southampton are?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I mean, he would give him a bit of steel in that midfield, with Xhaka. But I mean, they're looking good there, so I don't know why they'd want to change it now. I mean, granted, if that rumour came after the 9-0 loss, then yeah, I'd sort of understand it, but.
So that leaves. All right, Watford, Aston Villa, do.
All right then. Pretty hell, Villa. Right, 3-2-1.
So Troy Deeney opens up scoring. Then they go down to 10 men. Adrian Mariappa gets a double booking. And in that sort of scenario, the tide should turn towards Villa. But instead, it just gave a kick up Watford's arse. Everyone had to put in an extra shift. Troindini goes and converts the penalty. Then a couple of minutes later, Ismaila Sarr gets one. He seems to be a good signing for them. Just seems that Villa are a bit toothless without Grealish on point.
Yeah, and I mean, it took them a while to get going, didn't it, as well? Did Sarr. So, I mean, he's looking like a decent signing. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, Villa pissing bounce back. But, yeah, I mean, without, you know, the likes of your Grealish, I mean, he was playing, to be fair. But, I mean, he just wasn't able to do anything. And, you know, without your McGinn, like, it was really the heartbeat of that team. Mm. They just couldn't really do much, really.
He's out for 6 months, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, both Heaton and Wesley are out for the rest of the season as well.
Yeah, they can pick up some decent acquisitions.
Well, they're linked with Batshuayi on loan.
And Drinkwater.
Yeah, and Drinkwater. I mean,
but you can only have one player from each Premier League club on loan. So yeah, make a choice. Or they can drink water from us. Well, that
I mean, I know which choice I'd make. Jesus Christ. But yeah, I mean, we'll move on to the Leicester West Ham game. Yeah, so basically, Leicester deserved the win, really. I mean, Ian Acho, I don't know what's happened to him this season, but he looks like a completely different player to the player that he was last season. He's doing really well. I mean, Leicester, with a pretty heavily rotated side, still managed to get the job done against a pretty toothless-looking West Ham. And eventually, that's what cost Pellegrini his job, was the fact that they just showed nothing. Yeah, they didn't really show all.
No. Even when Leicester missed the penalty as well, that sort of gave a bit of hope to hang on to, but they just seem like a very mixed side. Like, I'm just looking at their wings. You have Masuaku, who's really pacey one side, and Fredericks, who's clumsy. You have two like tall, sort of big centre midfielders. Fornals is more of a central player. Lanzini, he's gone well off the mark.
Hit and miss, isn't he, Lanzini?
Hmm?
Hit and miss, isn't he?
Yeah. Just really odd. Then Anderson just looks really out of place in England. Harrow can't hit a barn door on some days.
They're just such an inconsistent side, like a West Ham, at the end of the day.
Was this Pellegrini's final match?
Yes, it was, because on New Year's, they'd already appointed Moyes. And I think, yeah, it was enough. Enough was enough for Pellegrini, really. Like, he had more than enough chances to turn it around, and he just couldn't.
Do the Burnley Man United game?
I mean,
you were there.
It'd be good to hear an outsider's perspective from it. I mean, I'll give my thoughts after what you've said, but I mean, it'd be good to hear an outside perspective. So, yeah, 3-2-1.
I feel like Man United completely dominated the game. They had more of the ball, had more of the chances. Burnley didn't really test De Gea. I think their only shot on goal that was on target did test De Gea, actually, so I'll retract that. But Martial, again, looks really decent. Goes and scores. I think Phil Bardsley should have been sent off for a second challenge. He had a book, and I can't remember who it was on. might have been Mark. I can't remember who it was on. Anyway, but Rashford goes and seals points at the end. It seems that usually he can only score from set pieces, but scores from open play and secures a win. And I don't think that's too arguable.
No. I mean, at the end of the day, we just didn't do anything. We didn't create anything. Like, it just shows that we need some creativity in that midfield. Like, because we just couldn't play football at the end of the day. Like, we just gave nothing. And I mean, I will say this. The pace was just too much. The pace of James, Rashford, Martial, just too much for us. I will say, Martial is 10 times the player that Rashford is. I mean, it was so obvious when you saw it in the flesh. I know Rashford got a goal, but that was only because we'd committed...
His debut, man. Jesus Christ. His debut against Liverpool. From that moment, I was like, this guy is decent.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason Rashford scored was because we'd committed everyone forward, including Pope. So, like, if he didn't score, then he would have been an absolute donkey. but, yeah, we just couldn't play football at the end of the day. Like, we just showed nothing. And it still wasn't the worst pissing performance we had in between these two recordings. Bloody hell. But, yeah, as for that Bardsley, should have been sent off. I don't think so, personally.
It would second yellow.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Personally, not for me. I mean, I know I'm biased, obviously, but no, not for me personally. Especially because I think it was on Williams, and he did get booked for diving as well. Williams, you got to remember that. So I mean,
yeah. I think there was definite contact, but he did oversell it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the official thing is simulation. And I mean, even if you get contact, you can simulate things. So I feel like that was probably fair. But yeah, like, the pace was just too much and we couldn't do anything. There was no energy from us. We got Arsenal-Chelsea game. I mean, do you want to go through it or shall I?
Well, it's your turn, so you can do it.
Might as well do then. I mean, I'm sure you've got some things you can say about it afterwards. Arsenal, that first half from Arsenal was really good. I mean, Aubameyang just managed to break away and get that goal. But yeah, really good performance from Arsenal. It was starting to look like a pretty decent side. I mean, Saka at left back confused me, but apart from that, yeah, they were looking decent. But that second half, Chelsea just turned another gear. And I mean, two goals later on from Jorginho and Abraham. And it was probably, in the end, it was probably a deserved win for Chelsea. And I mean, yeah, it was just that five at the back, or three at the back, whatever you want to call it, it seems to really be working for you at the moment.
You say that, and then we'll get into the next game.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into that in a little bit.
It seems it only works against the top six. Because we put it against Spurs, it worked brilliantly. Put it against Saints, got exposed. Against Arsenal, again, brilliantly. And then the next game, exposed. I think you put the nail on the head. I think it was a tale of two halves. I think just based on that second half performance, we deserved to win. Because we were just completely going at them.
Yeah. I think it was pretty deserved. Right, and I mean, what's the other game? The
Liverpool
Wolves, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go on. Do you want to take us through that? 3-2-1.
Okay, so a lot of controversy in this one. Sadio Mane goes and scores, smashes it in the bottom corner. There was a VAR review to look at a handball. Nothing doing. I think it took 3 minutes to actually come to a decision.
Yeah.
But it was given. Then Neto goes and scores. Now I can't I can't remember why. I think it was an offside.
I think it was offside, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the ruling was offside anyway.
Yeah. And again, it took absolutely ages to come to a decision. I think, again, they were wrong. I think... And then the second half was a whole lot of nothing. Despite Wolves sort of dominating, well, in air quotes, wasn't a whole lot of anything. I think 1-1 was a fair result. But
yeah.
Liverpool, again, getting that lucky... luckiness with the VAR.
Yeah.
Either need to improve it or scrap it.
Yeah. I just think it's the rules at the end of the day, what they're forced to enforce. That's bullshit. It's not to do with VAR itself. Because you can see in other leagues it works fine. Like where we don't have that crappy rules. Like look at it in the A League, for example. Like worked brilliantly there.
Also, yeah, but in Spain and that, the ref actually has a screen to look at.
Yeah. Well, they do here.
What? I've never seen them use it.
Yeah, they never use it. I think it was either the FA told them not to use it, or like the referees union said, like, no, we make our decision, so we're not going to go to the monitors or something. Like that. They've got it, but for one reason or another, they don't use it, basically. I don't just feel like they have to use it.
And I watch a bit of European football. They do not use that line bullshit.
Yeah.
It's just, it's whatever's... They use shading. So they'll do a line. Like, the darker area will be where the ball isn't in play.
Mm.
And the light... I don't know how to explain it.
I know what you mean anyway.
Yeah, they don't do the lines and the little dots and shit.
All that bollocks, yeah.
It's like watching a Sky Sports analysis. You don't need all that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's not gonna end up there. Something needs to be sorted. But yeah,
I think it was Gary Neville who said that I don't know what his name is, but he has to step down.
What, FA chairman?
No, it's not Greg Dyke. It's he named another guy. I think it was the guy who pushed for it to be put in the Premier League.
All right. What, Richard Hardcastle, is that it?
That may have been, yeah.
Because I know he was the FA secretary or whatever, the chairman. But, like, because Premier League clubs are had to pay him £1 million or something, as like a thank you gift when he left or something like that.
Oh, that's Scudamore, I think his name was.
Scudamore, that's it, yeah. Don't know where the hell I got Hardcastle from. but, yeah. Right, well, I mean, also, by the way, it was wrong that Wolves only had 2 days rest when Liverpool had three. Like,
they had 42 hours or something like that, yeah.
Exactly, because when it's that tight of, like, amount of rest, like, it makes a difference at the end of the day. I mean, what's the point of having a winter break if you're just going to cram more games into a short space of time?
it's a joke.
Yeah, it is.
Because we play as much games as they do in Spain, and their system is a lot more spread out and fair. Yeah. I mean, especially because they're playing Man City then Liverpool. They're hardly games where you can sort of rotate.
Exactly, yeah.
Should we move on to...
yeah, we'll go to City game.
21. City, oh yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just... Sheffield just didn't seem on it at the end of the day. I mean, they only had like 25% of the ball. Like, they had no shots on target. Like, they just didn't seem on it. Like, in City, even though they didn't have a full strength side, like, they just turned up at the end of the day. Aguero getting his first goal back after being out for a bit. And De Bruyne, who looks like he's firing this season. But yeah, it's just like, the Sheffield United just didn't seem to turn up, and Man City did at the end of the day. And you can't afford to not turn up against the team, the quality of Man City. The VAR as well, another shit decision. But I mean, what else have we got to say about it? Said all we need to say, really.
It's sad when technology has to overshadow the game.
It's exactly, yeah.
I was listening to TalkSport, and a lot of people have...
Oh, talk shit, yeah.
No,
can't do with Adrian Durham. Walking fucking tabloid he is.
Well, I don't watch it all. I'm just listening to it when I'm in the car, but which is not very often. But I've lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, he was saying that a lot of people were walking away from the game because it's ruining it. It takes the emotion out of the game, which I agree a lot with. Because you go and score a goal, only for it to be ruined. It's kind of a bit of an emotional rollercoaster that doesn't need to be in place.
Yeah.
Because what are we going to do? Are we going to go back to as far as World Cup 2010? Oh, the Lampard goal now stands.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Are we going to go back to when pissing Maradona handballed it into the net? Like, joke, man. But yeah. Yeah, it's just a joke, isn't it? Right, I'm going to move on to New Year's Day fixtures then. Chelsea Brighton, what early kickoff? Do you want to take us through that?
Yeah. First half, Chelsea were absolutely brilliant. Constantly keeping pressure on the back line. Azpilicueta opens up the scoring. Very unlikely scorer. He's the first scorer of the Premier League year. Brighton forced into a change. Reece James has been an absolute shithouse. I absolutely loved him for it. He just...
Yeah.
Hacking the crap out. That's what we lacked in the Southampton game. Then those chances that we wasted come to rue. And I was saying it a lot on Twitter. If we don't put away our chances, they're going to equalise. And Kepa was very hard to beat because he was making these absolutely insane saves. And then Jahan Baksh does this insane overhead kick.
Yeah.
Keeper's frozen still, and to be honest, after that, I was pretty much spamming that Brighton are going to go on and win it, because when you score a goal like that, it does give you a big, like, morale
boost. Yeah,
it gives you
a boost, doesn't it? Yeah. Because
yeah. If you can score that past a keeper, then you can score anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then Reece James finally got the booking that Brighton fans were all wanting him for, that win the very last minute. I think he was our man of the match. He was the only one putting in the extra shift, going up and down the wing. And it's another game. Abraham goes missing in these games. And since the rumours are that Bashuai and Giroud are going to be leaving, we're going to be a bit stuffed.
He's got to step up.
Because
you won't have any other options.
And Hudson-Odoi in this game, I think that's where I took the step off the hype train.
Yeah.
He was atrocious.
I mean, at the end of the...
He's only... Sorry, go on. I know he's only 19. But considering all the hype that he had, the games that he had in the academy, it's a bit of a Dominic Solanke situation.
Well, I won't write him off just yet. I feel like maybe a loan move would do him the world of good. Like maybe to a Championship club or something, just to get him regular football. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, he's not a regular starter at Chelsea. Like Pulisic and Willian, I'd argue, were probably more regular starters than him.
But he's played 13 games for us.
Yeah, but how many of them are off the bench? Right.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean,
The issue is you just can't find the net.
Yeah.
And that's crucial for a winger.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a loan move in Championship would do a world of good. I feel like, because, I mean, at the end of the day, if you didn't loan out Tomori, if you didn't loan out Mount, do you think they'd be the players that they are now? I don't think they would.
No,
so I, feel like...
I don't think that Lampard would have a job either. Because
no,
those
exactly.
two were brilliant for him.
Yeah. But, I mean, just give Hudson-Odoi some regular first-team football and just see how he does on loan. And then if he comes back, which he probably would do, then great. Like, you've got another player who can do bits for you. And if he don't, then he doesn't turn out well. Like, I just feel like he's got to be given more of a chance to prove himself. And a loan deal, I think, would help that greatly.
See, I hyped up this guy, and you've probably never heard of him back when I was in probably year 8. He's called Islam Farouz.
Does that you're right, I have never heard of him.
Well, he's currently playing for Falkirk in Scotland. I bigged him up. Oh, he's this Somalian striker. He's going to be absolutely brilliant. Premier League's best thing. Complete flop. Complete flop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you are going to get that with youth players. Not all of them are going to turn out to be world beaters. So, some of them are just not going to make it. That's a simple fact.
Shocking.
Yeah, I mean, I still think he's a good player, and I still think he has the potential to be a great player, Hudson-Odoi. But, I mean, he just needs... First off, again, you've got to remember he's only a teenager. But, I mean, I just feel like a loan move would do him the world of good. Just away from Chelsea, away from the pressures of a Champions League club, which you are, don't forget. Get him away from that and just let him see what he could do at like a Championship club or somewhere around about that level.
Do you want to go through the Burnley game?
I mean, not particularly, but I mean, I'm sort of forced into it, aren't I? Yeah. It was sort of shite, really. I mean, that was the worst first half performance that I've ever seen from Burnley. Like, it was worse first half performance than when we were 4-0 down against Everton, like, one half in. Like, it was just terrible. No energy, no creativity, nothing. And we should have been 3-0 down at half time as well. Like, that Grealish goal should have stood. Like, I am a biased fan, but you're not going to get deny that. It should have been a goal. And I hoped it was a goal, to be honest with you. Because, I mean, if we went in 3-0 down, then it would have had to have been a wake-up call. Like, because it's 2-1, a bit closer, it might not change much for the next few games. Because we've got some big games coming up. We've got Chelsea, got Leicester, got Arsenal, got Man United. Like, there's some big games coming up. Like, and we need to be on top form, better than what we are now. And there's just nothing, just passing it back and forth from defence to defence. Like, just nothing. And I mean, second half performance, some people said it were better, but it wasn't really. It was just because Villa had had enough. They were just more focused on protecting the lead. Woodheader were good, but we just didn't get enough crosses into the box at the end of the day. Charlie Taylor was the only good player for us, I'd say. Yeah, it was just terrible performance. And that Ben Mee challenge was fair. Shocking, absolutely shocking.
There's quite a pick for the 3 o'clock games. I think I'll go with my favourite result. I think I'll go Southampton 1, Spurs 0.
Yeah, right. Go for it.
Okay, so Danny Ings coming up trumps against the top six yet again. He has got as many goals in the league as Lionel Messi does. That's an actual stat. Yep. Then, see, I was listening to this on the radio. I think, oh yeah, there was a penalty incident. Went to VAR, nothing doing. And Ndombele also got injured. There was an incident Harry Kane thought he'd scored. Just VAR taking its time, but it's correctly given as offside. And then Saints, despite conceding 9-0 at home once, managed to see out the game and get a clean sheet yet again against the top six side and beating Chelsea and Spurs back-to-back. And now they're up to 12th, which is insane.
Yeah, considering they lost 9-0 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean...
6 points off fifth.
Yeah, I mean, once they were 9-0, once they'd lost 9-0, I thought, that's it.
Oh, I wrote them off, yeah.
How can a team lose 9-0 and then have any hope of staying up? Like, you can't. Like, because confidence would have just been shot. And I'm sure it was shot, but they managed to bounce back from that. And I have no idea how they did it. Like, they didn't even change a manager and get a new manager bounce or something. Like, it's insane. I don't want to say luck, but it was a good, insane turnaround from, what's it? Fucking Southampton. Jesus Christ. I'm really out of it. But yeah, it's insane turnaround from him.
Well, I think that 9-0 definitely was the players, hence why he had to route completely change his starting pattern.
Yeah.
And it's done wonders for him.
Yeah, that's done.
It's your turn now.
Yeah. I'll go to Leicester Newcastle. Perez getting a goal against his own club. And the Newcastle fans got mad at him for celebrating, even though they booed him all game. it was just another rampant performance from Leicester. Newcastle, again, they didn't really show much. Joe Linton. I've had quite a few Newcastle fans saying, oh, Joe Linton's underrated. But, I mean, if you buy a striker, even though he's not really a striker, but you're playing him as a striker, and if you buy someone for 40 million and he scores one league goal, you don't have a right to call him underrated. Like, he's just bad. Like, Leicester looking really good. I was really interested with that team selection, though, from Leicester. Because, it was weird. Because they were playing with, like, two fullbacks. Like, three fullbacks, sorry. They're playing with two left-backs. They sort of played Fuchs as, like, a centre-back. And Maddison, who they play usually out wide, sort of moved into the centre. It was a really attacking formation from Leicester. I mean, obviously, it worked out for him. But, yeah, it was really, like, offensive, positive-minded set from Leicester. I mean, obviously, it worked out for him. But, yeah, it was interesting to look at.
I'm going to go to the final 3 o'clock game, Watford Wolves. Complete 180 from the game that we saw against Man City. Gerard Deulofeu gets an assist from his fellow winger, Ismail Assar, going to half 1-0. Then Deulofeu sets up Doucouré. He goes and scores 2-0. Neto finally gets a goal that counts after the one didn't count at Anfield. Then Cabasele goes and gets straight red. At that point, when they're down to sort of 10 men, a defender down, because they bring on a left back to go into centre back's position, Wolves should have gotten equalised. I think they were just shooting for the sake of shooting at times. And only really forced two saves out of Foster. But Watford looked... They were definitely... I think the Morris Correa said, but more clinical.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Wolves, they sort of work best when they're hitting teams on the break with pace. And they just weren't able to do that because Watford were just sitting back and inviting the pressure. And in the end, like, couldn't handle it, Wolves, they just weren't able to finish him. But yeah, I mean, again, another good performance from Nigel Pearson's Wolves. I think, did he get Manager of the Month for December? I know he was nominated. I don't know if it's been given yet.
I thought they still vote.
Yeah, they probably are. But I mean, yeah, like about 6 weeks ago, we were saying Watford's dead and buried, and now they're only 2 points off safety. Like, incredible turnaround. They've only lost one in the last five. Like, that was against Liverpool. Like, yeah, it's crazy what Pearson's done for Watford.
Yeah, he's only been nominated.
Right, well, I'll move on to West Ham Bournemouth game. Yeah, this was Moyes' first game in charge, and I mean, yeah, it's an instant impact, and the energy that it had, West Ham, is miles more like aggressive and in your face from West Ham than it was under Pellegrini. Mark Noble getting a double, I mean, not exactly a player you'd pick to get a double before the game, but yeah, he's a really good player on his day, Mark Noble, really underrated. I'm surprised he never got picked for England. Because he's a really good midfielder. He's probably a bit past it now for England, but yeah, he's really good. And yeah, Alaire and Anderson, two pretty inconsistent players, can be hit and miss, managing to get a goal as well. Like, that sort of shift to a sort of 4-5-1 from West Ham, like, it worked out for him in the end. Like, two flat banks in defence and midfield, and it worked out for him in the end. As for Bournemouth, they just opened up for him at the end of the day. Like, they didn't really show any fight, which is typical of an Eddie Howe side. Like, they just didn't show out, really.
Mm-hmm. The Moyes effect.
Yeah, it's the new manager bounce, isn't it? I mean, teams always have a new manager bounce. It'll be interesting once once the manager bounce ends, once they pick up the first loss, it'll be interesting to see where they go from there.
I'm surprised they picked Moyes because historically he has the second worst win-loss percentage in West Ham history. The first being Gianfranco Zola.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not a good manager, is Zola. I mean, he was crap at Watford, he was crap at West Ham. Like,
was he at Swindon? He was crap there as well.
I think so, yeah.
I wonder if he's still managing.
I severely doubt it. Unless he's done an Owen Coyle and gone to the second tier of India to manage a team.
Oh, yeah, he was assistant manager under Conte.
Oh, right.
At Chelsea. All right. Etihad, Man City, Everton. Really strange lineup from City. Having two midfielders play centre-back. Bringing in Eric Garcia. Going with Gabriel Jesus, Mahrez and Foden on the wing. Strange again. But it worked out. Completely dominated the ball. Dominated the game. Gabriel Jesus gets a brace thanks to Gundogan and Mahrez. Richarlison scores, but it only works out to a consolation. Didn't really seem any different under Carlo Ancelotti in this game.
No, I mean, they looked pretty similar to what they did under Silva, I must admit. Yeah, I mean, the fight that they sort of showed against us was just, well, I'm not going to say completely gone, but it was pretty absent, I'll say. And yeah, they just, don't get me wrong, it's against a really good Man City team. Like, so you don't know whether it was just, you know, like Man City made them look poor, like, or made them look like they weren't trying. But I mean, yeah, they just didn't really show much, to be honest with you.
Am I doing Norwich Palace?
Yeah.
Wait, who just did that? I did that match. Jesus Christ. Yeah. So you'll do Norwich Palace then.
Yeah, I'll do Norwich Palace. I think a draw was pretty much a fair result. I mean, the only really big talking point was that Wickham goal, which was eventually ruled in by VAR, not something we used to see. It was originally viewed as offside. And yeah, I mean, he did look a mile offside, but if you looked at it back, yeah, it was quite a way onside. And it's just an example of VAR actually getting somewhat right for once, proving that it can be a force for good if it's enforcing decent rules. But yeah, I mean, again, Norwich picking up points. I mean, I know there's 7 points off safety. And I just feel like what they need to do is they need to just shore up defensively. Because if you look at the amount of goals scored, like, it's more than Watford, it's more than Bournemouth, it's more than Newcastle, it's more than Palace. Like, it's almost as much as Sheffield United, who are in eighth. Like, they just need to shore up defensively because they conceded 41 in 21. Like, that's almost two a game. They just need to shore up defensively.
I think they just don't have the financial backing to buy anyone.
Well, I don't think it's that they don't have the backing. I just think it's that they physically can't.
They
don't have rich owners. It's not that they're not backing them. It's just that they physically don't have the money.
Mm. So I think we might see players get sold either this month or next month as they prepare to go down up next window. The likes of Timo Pukki, Todd Cantwell.
Todd Cantwell is a good young prospect. I'd be surprised if he were there next season, especially if they do go down. Yeah.
Jamal Lewis.
Ben Godfrey.
Yeah, we've got another midfielder I've forgotten about.
Don't know.
Just gonna quickly look. Oh yeah, Buendia.
Oh
yeah. Yeah. So I think they'll get their money's worth. So let's go into Man United Arsenal.
Man United Arsenal. Yeah.
Well, they got off to a good start early on. Nicolas Pepe, finding the net. He's got as many goals as Adam Webster does, who's a centre back. Cost you $72 million, but you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Socrates doubles their lead. I just look at the two lineups. This is sad times of both teams' history. You think who's been in those positions? I think despite what Aubameyang's saying to the media, I think he will go. He is pretty much Arsenal FC. Although in this game he didn't contribute to any of the goals and they won. I think that's just because Man United were very poor. Although the stats were even, De Gea was having an off game yet again. And Arsenal looking decent under Arteta. Seems like they've found the footing under him. Although I could be saying that now and they go and lose to bloody Leeds tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean,
whatever it is.
At least Jesse Lingard has equaled his goal and assist tally for last season already in this game.
Like, in that game?
Really impressive, yeah. Zero goals, zero assists. He's equaled last year's.
Wow. You can't play the potential card anymore.
No, I mean, that was the only positive from the Man U game that we had, was that Lingard didn't score a goal or assist. Because that meant for the whole of 2019, he didn't have one goal contribution.
Jesus Christ.
I know. It's funny. So
you get the honours of the final game.
Yeah. I mean, Liverpool-Sheffield, it wasn't as tight as the last time these two faced, where the only separation between the two sides was a Dean Henderson mistake. Just another typical Liverpool performance. I don't really know what to say about it, to be honest with you. again, Liverpool just playing like they usually do, and they had 75% of the ball. Like, you've got to be a good team to have that much against a good Sheffield United side as well. Let's not forget. And yeah, just Salah and Firmino managing to score. Like, there. Mane's been on fire this season, really. He's probably been Liverpool's best player this season. And yeah, just another good performance. I'd be interested to see, though, based on the way they set up tactically here at Liverpool, where Minamino fits in. Because, I mean, the only position really where I'd see him fit in is sort of Wijnaldum's position. But, I mean, it wouldn't really be
Well, I believe he'll be playing in the game against Everton. That's been confirmed by Klopp.
We'll see you then.
Yeah. I think if Liverpool were playing another team, I don't think, because Man City have been comfortable in possession, constantly had the chances, but they only scored two. I think had they played a better team on the day, I think they would have rued missing a lot of chances. I mean, they had 19 shots. They were just very comfortable. Sheffield United didn't cause any issues. They were allowed to play from the back. They were allowed to just play about the park. There was a chance for Lise Moussey just before the half was ended. The first half was going to end, but he cocked it up, and had he just got his foot in right, he would have been through on goal.
Yeah.
But, you know, still, they're eighth, Sheffield United. And
Liverpool, yeah, I don't think they can complain about all.
No. And Liverpool went the whole of 2019 unbeaten at home.
Yeah, which is not a mean feat as well. Can't underestimate how good that is.
I think they said they're 38 league games unbeaten, and the current record, well, Chelsea had 41. The current record is held by Arsenal, which is 49, when they went a whole season undefeated.
Yeah,
the next one, that was ended by Man United, who beat them 2-0.
Yeah, I mean,
and Man United is the only team that they've dropped points against. So. Yeah.
They always turn up against the big teams, to Man United, apart from, you know.
Well, they've got Man United in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, I know.
They've got Spurs next. And they've also got Southampton. I wouldn't write them off, considering the performances they've had.
It would be a hard, hard team.
I think, do you think now that they've essentially got the league wrapped up, do you think they'll focus towards defending the Champions League?
I mean, I don't think so yet. I think maybe they'll wait until like March to start rotating or something. But I mean, yeah, it's just the league is wrapped up, to be fair.
It is pretty embarrassing that we've got to a standard of the French league and the Italian league. Well, the Italian league have passed.
Yeah, well, I mean, not at the moment, yeah, because, I mean, isn't Inter top?
No, I think so, but I believe they got.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, it's just like, it's just for this season, though. I'm sure next season, like, Man City will come back stronger, Chelsea, like, if they get a lot of good signings, could be up there. I mean, even Leicester, like, depending on how much money is invested in Leicester, they could be up there come next season. I mean, obviously, you've got the big boys, you've got Spurs, who could be coming back if they spend money, if Jose is allowed to. I feel like this season, it's sort of like a transition period. Man City seem like a team at the end of the cycle, as do Spurs. But at the end of the team, you've got teams coming up like, Wolves. It'll be interesting to see what happens. See next season, anyway, because this season,
and to answer the question, Inter are top, but only by goal difference.
Ah, right, okay.
Do we want to cover any transfers that have happened?
Well, I was about to say, I think that's it for I think that's it for Premier League football. But in terms of transfer windows, there's been a couple of movements. So I thought we'd just go through them. I mean, I've got one big one in my head, I'm sure you're going to bring up as well. But you take the lead, since you're up on European football than myself.
What?
I'll let you take the lead on the transfers.
Okay, so what I've wrote down is I've got Julian Weigl, who's gone to Benfica for €18 million. I think that may mean that Dortmund aren't done spending. Once we get into the thing. And apparently they've put a release clause on him for €100 million now.
Oof.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be spending that on Julian Weigl. I mean, there's more quality players that you could get for that money.
Mattia Perin, the Juve goalkeeper, has gone on loan to Genoa.
All right.
Wasn't
he there originally? Perin.
He was
just making that up.
No, I think he was last season.
Yeah.
But they bought him at the start of the season, and he's just been a bench warmer, basically.
Yeah.
You got Lucas Silva, who used to play for Real Madrid and Marseille. He was a free agent. He's gone to Brazil on a free.
Right.
Carlos Alenia has gone to Betis on loan. That's pissed off a lot of Barca fans. They want Valverde out.
Yeah.
And then the final couple I've got is Patrick Roberts and Nemecha, both gone to Borough on loan.
I mean, none of them were the ones that I had in mind, to be honest with you.
And Jack Rodwell's gone to Sheffield United.
Yeah, but again, they weren't the ones that I had in mind personally. You forgot one big one.
Kieran Dowell to Wigan.
Wigan, sorry, yeah. That was the big one that I was on about. No, of course, we're on about Erling Haaland, the wonder kid. Where was he going to go? Well, it's turned out that he's going to go to Dortmund. Good decision, do you reckon, Harry?
Yeah, I mean, you just look at the development of Jadon Sancho taking Man City reject into one of the best young talents in the whole of Europe. Insane transition.
And they got him for really cheap as well, didn't they? Get him for like €20 million or something. Am I reading that right?
Who?
Dortmund got Haaland for only like €20 million or something.
I don't read right. Hang on. 20 million. Holy crap! It was.
Yeah, I thought it was something like that. I mean, it's absolute bargain for a player of that sort of quality.
What? You have Yao Felix going for
hundreds of millions, yeah.
Whoa, what? Yeah, I think he's going to be a big hit in Bundesliga. Obviously, I'll keep bringing this up, but I saw him in the Toulon tournament scoring 9 against Honduras. That was where I first saw him. And look at him now. Did you know he was born in Leeds?
Haaland? Well, yeah, his dad used to play for Leeds, didn't he?
Yeah, and he played for Man City as well, I believe.
Yeah, I can't find it, but I do remember vividly saying on this podcast, because didn't he score like 8 for Norway under 20s or something?
He scored 9 in one game.
That's what I meant, yeah. In one game.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember saying on the podcast, I remember you brought it up. This was just before the season started, and I remember saying, don't get too carried away. he's not done anything yet. He's just against, like, Belarus under 20s or something. Like,
Honduras.
Yeah, Honduras, yeah. Yeah, it made me look like an idiot. I can't find that audio, thank the Lord. But, yeah, it proves me wrong. I mean, top scorer in the Champions League for a team that got knocked out. Like, it's brilliant from him.
Yeah, and he's making the Austrian league his bitch, basically. I mean, I think, is he and his father the only players, two players, father and son, to have scored against Liverpool?
I have no idea. I'd have to check that.
I believe that was the stat I read.
Yeah.
But the funny thing it was, there were videos, posts, oh, he's going to go to Man United.
Yeah.
I mean, for 20 million, even, I think even probably Sheffield United could have gotten in on that.
Well, they could have afforded him.
Yeah.
They probably couldn't have got him, but they could have afforded him. I think, to be honest with you, most clubs in the Premier League could have afforded him if they wanted to.
Bar Norwich.
Yeah, bar Norwich and maybe us. But yeah, interesting one. To be honest with you, though, I thought if he's going to go to the Bundesliga, I thought he'd have gone to the Red Bull counterparts, RB Leipzig.
Yeah, a lot of people have thought that, yeah.
Yeah, because you'd have thought there'd have been some sort of first refusal clause in his contract or something that says Leipzig could have got priority transfer or something.
Yeah, but I don't know what I'm going to say, but the owner of Watford also owns Granada and Udinese, and he tends to loan the players between each club.
Yeah.
They never actually do a proper deal to each other.
Yeah.
But if they are going to sell, they're going to sell to a club outside their ownership to make money. Because you can't give money to yourself. That's...
Yeah. Well, that's what... what's it? Man City do, because they've got like 8 affiliate clubs or something like across the globe. They've got one in like Australia, they've got one in America,
Brazil,
like, Brazil. Yeah, they've got them all across globe. So like, affiliate clubs aren't a foreign concept. I mean, towards even Aki Stanley's sort of an affiliate. Like,
yeah, I think they got Aaron Moy on a free. I think that's what I mean. The deals aren't for money.
Yeah.
They could just move free and then just sold him to Huddersfield.
Huddersfield, yeah.
That's how they make the money. But yeah. Chelsea hopefully go and sign some players.
Well, I mean, you've got Danny Drinkwater confirmed to be going back to Chelsea. So
wow.
He could be a useful asset for you.
Yeah, we also got Van Hinkle in the books. He's definitely made some impact.
I mean, the thing is, right, it could be a good player, could drink water, if he tried and he wasn't injured all the time. Like...
I think that deal was initially done just to open up the gates between us and Potato. I think it was just a goodwill gesture. And also, David Villa played his last ever game.
Ah, yeah, I remember seeing that. He plays in the same team as Iniesta, doesn't he? In Japan or something.
What, Vissel Kobe?
Yeah.
Is that the team?
I don't know what the team is. I saw him in the picture, though. I saw him with Iniesta.
Oh, yeah. It would be Vissel Kobe, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what team it is, though. Funnily enough, I don't follow Japanese football.
Well, good thing I'm here, because it is Vissel Kobe.
Yeah, exactly.
They won it.
That's why you're here. You're not just a pretty face.
They won the Emperor's Cup.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
The prestigious Emperor's Cup. More validity than the Champions League. Premier League, Europa League, and World Cup combined.
To bow out with a trophy on your final ever game.
Yeah.
I think he's got more trophies than just alone than most clubs, which is insane. Also, in their this is their lineup. I think you'll know a few of these names for Vissel Kobe.
Go on, then.
Thomas Vermaelen.
Yeah.
Sergi Samper, Andres Iniesta, Lucas Podolski.
Yeah, what a blast from the past.
Yeah, that's all they've got. But
a lot of ex Arsenal players then.
Oh, they got Sakai, who used to play in the Bundesliga as well.
Oh. It's the new MLS is the Japanese league, because of course the new MLS was the Chinese league until it got that wage cap.
Wait, is that true? They got a wage cap?
Yeah, they're not allowed to spend more than 60k in wages on foreigners anymore in Japanese league.
So they've pretty much just stopped their own. They just stopped their own marketability.
Basically, yeah.
Oh, and we've missed another one. Ibrahimovic has gone to AC Milan.
He's gone to AC Milan, hasn't he? Yeah, he's returned.
Yeah, no one loves Zlatan more than Zlatan.
No. I mean, he'll do a job for him at the end of the day. He's still a good player.
Yeah. I mean, AC Milan have been lacking a goal scorer.
Yeah.
They're sat in 11th at the moment.
Which is weird, because they've got some good strikers. They've got Piatek, they've got Silva. Like, they've got some good players.
Piatek has gone well off since he's joined from Genoa.
Yeah.
And they got Rebic again. He's gone well off.
I thought he was at Norwich. Am I mistaken?
Who, Rebic?
Yeah.
You're thinking Dermich.
I'm thinking of Dermich, you're right.
Yeah, so AC Milan just come off their biggest loss in recent history and go and
find 5-0 won it, yeah.
Yeah, against Atalanta.
I mean, yeah, the massive falling off from the European giants, what they once were.
It's not like, it's just very bad investments from this Chinese consortium.
Right.
Because they haven't got a bad squad by any means. I mean,
no. But who's the manager of Milan?
Stefano Pioli. I think he used to manage Fiorentina. I will double check that.
Well, I mean, I've not heard of him. I wondered if it were a name or not.
And I am correct. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh shit! He used to manage Inter Milan as well. Jeez.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm sure that went down well when he first got appointed. DL.
I mean, they used to have Gattuso and he's crap.
Yeah.
So I think we just wrap it up, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, really. I mean, you can find me on Twitter at IWGPChrisBFC. You can find the podcast at AntiFootballPod. You got out to plug, Harry?
Twitter at HazardChelseaFC. If you want to see. Yeah. Be spamming shit, yeah.
Aye. Yeah, well, that's it, I guess. And we'll see you next time.